Scary World.
Scary World.
Okay, guys, come. I know it's late. We've got to get moving.
I remember I'll tell you after.
Okay, yeah, shkoach everyone to come and sit and learn on your day off a little. Everyone, if we move back a little, I can see everyone back there. Okay. So I had the schluss of being in Rabbi Soloveitchik's shir towards the end of when he stopped giving shir. 1985, he stopped giving shir. And one of his revolutions was taking the Brisker Derech, which I won't elaborate on now, take too long, but applying it to areas that hadn't classically been studied. Over hundreds of years, there had been a contraction in what Masechtos people learned. And essentially, the yeshiva world at that point was learning Nashim and Nezikim, the Bavas, Kiddushin, Ksuvos, Gittin, in part because they were very, very relevant halacha lemaisa, so you had to issue psak. Other reasons contributed to it. But if you walked into a yeshiva in the 18th century, it'd be unlikely that you'd hear a shir on anything but, or deep, in-depth, lumdish shir, or eon analytic shir. And of course, Reb Chaim had a revolution of methodology, what methodology to use to understand Gemara. Some of you that have been to yeshiva have heard of it or thought about it. Those of you who will be to yeshiva, Mirz Hashem, will start to encounter it. But still, Reb Chaim dealt primarily in the classic worlds of Nashim and Nezikim, but also in the worlds of Kachim, in the world of Korbanos, which was very attractive to that Brisker revolution. Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rav, brought those analytic tools to the world of Moed, to learning Shabbos and Yom Tov. And some of the most beautiful Torah of the Rav is about topics that come up in Seder Moed or Brachos, Davening, Tefillin, is it Menachos, Kriyas HaTorah, Mitzvos, Lulav, Sukkah, Matzah. So you show that these same analytic tools that were honed in the Bavas and in Nashim and Nezikim can now be applied to get a better understanding of some of the mitzvahs we perform on a daily basis or a seasonal basis. So he gave shiurim on Kriyas HaTorah. There's no Masechta that directly or comprehensively deals with Kriyas HaTorah. It's scattered. But the greatest concentration of halachas of Kriyas HaTorah is in the third parak of Megillah. So Rabbi Schwab told me it's when in our email correspondence that a lot of you boys are finishing the second parak of Megillah. You just finished. You hope to finish.
Right, so
this would be a nice tie-in to hear some Torah and Kriyas HaTorah. The first Mishnah in the third parak, it's not in your sources, so I thought, you have the Gemara in front of you. In the third parak of Megillah, the first Mishnah says that there's a discrepancy between reading the Megillah and reading a Sefer Torah. The Mishnah says, HaKari is a Megillah Omed V'yoshev. When you read Megillah, it's in the Gemaras. If you read, I didn't put the Gemaras on the source sheets because I thought you'd have Gemaras. But here, you can look in with me. Hakari sa Megillah. That's another Gemara. Megillah. Hakari sa Megillah. Omed v'yoshev. Namely, when it comes to reading Megillah, it's less formal. You could be standing or sitting. Chaf aleph amid aleph. Okay? And the contrast is the first line of the Gemara, Tana, after the Mishnah, Masha enkein batara. Tara is much more formal. So when you're reading the Megillah, you could be the person who reads can be standing or sitting. When you read from a Torah, it should be more than that. Now, Rashi says, Hakari, the first Rashi in the parak, Hakari Omed Yoshev. When you read a Megillah, you could be standing or sitting. Imratza Omed, Imratza Yoshev. Rashi has a chiddush here, that there's no value even lechachila for the person reading the Megillah to be standing. He can do whatever he wants. Hakari Omed Yoshev. If you sit, it's not b'di'evet, it's just as lechachila. If the person reading the Megillah is sitting, it's just as good. Listen to Rashi's language. Imratza omeid. Imratza yoshev. Rashi doesn't say lechachila ya'amod b'kriyas ha-Megillah v'b'di'evet yeshiva sagi. That would be the way I would write Rashi if it was lechachila. Rashi says, whatever you want, omeid yoshev. So according to Rashi, kriyas ha-Megillah you don't care what you do, stand or sit. In Rashi's world, in Rashi's translation, Torah is different. Torah is one step more severe. So when it comes to Megillah, we don't care what you do. You can sit even lechatchila. So Torah being more formal, what do you need to do when you read from the Torah? Stand, but only lechatchila. Right? One step more severe than Megillah. Megillah, there's no inyan whatsoever to stand. Torah, lechatchila, you should stand, but b'di'evid, you can sit. The chazan can sit when he reads from the Torah. The Rambam has a different translation of this whole sugya. According to the Rambam, Megillah, lechatchila, you should stand when you recite the Megillah, but the Eved, you can sit. So when the Mishnah says, if you look at the Rambam on your sources, what does the Rambam say? I don't have the sources, let me look in with you guys. The Rambam says here, Hakaris a Megillah, okay, Kara, Omed, Oyoshev, the second line, Yatza, Avalo, Yikra, Betzibor, Yoshev, lechatchila. Lechadchila, the chazan who reads the Megillah, the Baal Kriya should stand. So this is where the Rambam disagrees with Rashi. According to Rashi, the Megillah could be read even lechadchila while sitting. Imratza, imratza. According to the Rambam, lechadchila, you should stand when you read Megillah's Esther, b'di'evid, you could sit. Now in the Rambam's world, if Megillah, you should stand lechadchila, but you can sit b'di'evid. So now, do the math, extrapolate, then when you read a Sefer Torah, which is more severe than Kriya Megillah, what's the outcome?
Can't sit.
You can't sit at all. Even with the Eved, you have to stand. Very good. Because Kriyas HaTorah will always be one step more severe than Kriyas HaMegillah. If Kriyas HaMegillah can do whatever you want, even Lechatchila, then Kriyas HaTorah, you should stand Lechatchila, but with the Eved, it's fine. If Kriyas HaMegillah is you should stand Lechatchila like the Rambam, but the Eved, you could sit, then Sefer Torah has to be, you have to stand even with the Eved. So in the Rambam's read of the Sugya, you have to stand when you're reading the Torah. The Baal Kriya has to stand. Yes, Sam.
On Rashi, he says Rashi's understanding is because one step more severe, so it's just lechatchila to stand. But the first Rashi on the Gemara, Mashayin came on Torah, it says Shayin came on Torah, but Subminyosh said you can't sit.
Right. So the Pashas of that Rashi is you can't say lechatchila. If you sit b'di'evit, it's fine. Only lechatchila. Doesn't say b'di'evit. Okay? Question is, why do you have to stand when you read a Sefer Torah? Where does this come from? That was the Rav's question. The Rav said we have to understand Kriyas HaTorah a little bit more deeply to understand why you have to stand. This is always how analytics work. Hey, look at me. I'll just show you analytics in Gemara and analytics in life. You always want to take a few steps back and look at things from a broader perspective, from a more systemic perspective. Not just deal with a specific question, but every question in life, whether it's lambdas or whether it's about your life, is part of a larger, like, who are you? What are the decisions you're making? What... Don't just try to answer questions telescopically. How do I deal with a particular challenge? What's the answer to this question? Like today, we tried to understand why we don't make changes to our tefillah and Tisha B'Av, and we spent 45 minutes talking about tefillah and authenticity and standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What does it mean to daven in an authentic and genuine fashion? Okay? So if I can ask everyone just to move a little bit back with your chairs, I can see everyone. What's your name?
Abi Harris.
Okay. What do we read from the Torah on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, Abi? So the Rav gave two ideas to better explain Kriyas HaTorah. On the one hand, he said, does anyone know the first time the Jews instituted Kriyas HaTorah? When that was?
Ezra.
Correct. Ezra Nehemiah redid it and redacted it, but the original Takana was Moshe's Takana. And it happened 3 days after Kriyas Yamsuf. The Torah writes in Parshas Bishalach, Vayelchu shlosha yamim velo matzu mayim. And of course, that's when Hashem instructed Moshe to insert the tree into the well and sweeten the waters. But the Gemara in Bava Kama on Pei Beis interprets, did I quote the Gemara for you? I don't know if it's on the source sheet. Ein Mayim Elatara. I don't think it's on the source sheet. They didn't just go 3 days without water. They went 3 days without encountering Hashem because of the Yam Suf they also Hashem so clearly. And that encounter was removed. So Moshe Rabbeinu said this will never happen again in Jewish history. There will never be 3 days when Am Yisrael will not encounter Hashem. I will institute that every 3 days they read from the Torah. Monday, 2 days passed, read from the Torah. 2 days passed, Shabbos, read from the Torah. Namely, the Rav said, very incredible, the Rav used to give these shiurim on Gimel Shvat. Gimel Shvat was his father's yahrzeit. His father was named Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, who was the son of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. So in Gimel Shvat, the Rav would give these famous, they were called Yahrzeit Shiur. They lasted about 6 hours. Half lamdas and analysis, half just machshava. People would fly in from all over the country, at the very least, but I think even from all over the world, just for that day. These were long. They were written up in a two-volume sefer called Shiurim, L'Zecher Abba Mori. Now, what's interesting about this is because Rav Lichtenstein was one of the editors of that sefer. When I first showed up in yeshiva in 1983 was when the sefer was first published, and there was a big sign up in yeshiva, who wants to buy Shiurim L'Zecher Abba Mori? And I call myself as like this little Shona Aleph guy. Why would I want to buy a sefer in someone's father's memory? Like, I'm not struggling. I didn't know anything. Like, I'm sure he's had a nice father, but why would I want to buy some? But I looked at the sign-up list, and it was Moshe Lichtenstein, Ira Lichtenstein. So, well, seems like everyone wants the sefer. I better buy it. So I put my name down. And I was very fortunate because I bought the sefer, and for about 25 years it was out of print. It was reprinted in the late 90s, early 2000s. Now you can get it in the sperm store. But I was one of the only people that actually had the sperm. Not because I knew about it. It's like I put my name down. So sometimes when you see good people signing up for things, just put your name down. You'll be in good company. So he wrote up that some of these shiurim in the shiurim Lezecher Abba Mori. The Rav said, the essence of Kriyas HaTorah is not studying Torah in public. That's what we would think. We study Torah in private, as we are right now. Then we also get together in a minyan, and we study Torah in public. The Rav said, no. Kriyas HaTorah is contact with Hashem through His Word. Not cognitive, but experiential. We're not trying to study. Right now we're involved primarily in a cognitive experience. It's experience through cognition. But in theory, I could just read Torah for you and it would have an impact on your neshama, even if there was no processing or cerebral activity. You just were hearing me say the words of Torah. It's connecting to Hashem through His will. Moshe was not concerned with their dwindling cognitive skills in Torah, that they weren't so brisk or that their chakiras weren't that sharp. Moshe was concerned they didn't see Hashem. At the Yamsuf, they weren't learning. They were seeing Hashem. They were encountering the Bona Shalom. And 3 days shouldn't pass without a person or Am Yisrael encountering the Kodesh Baruch. In fact, in the Rav, in a very, very powerful, powerful riot, he said, I'll prove to you this isn't in order to perform the mitzvah of Talmud Torah in public. They didn't yet have mitzvahs. It was before Har Sinai. In fact, the Rav asked a really incredible question, which is a fascinating question. What were they reading? Moshe was mitaken Kriyas HaTorah. What do they do? Okay, first Kriyas HaTorah. Take out a Sefer Torah. Oh, we don't have a Sefer Torah yet. It's 3 weeks before Har Sinai. What were they reading? So evidently, there was some words of Hashem that had been recorded by Avram. There were some words of Hashem that had been recorded by Yitzchak and Yaakov. So there was some scroll that they could read from. The point is, they weren't learning Torah to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah in a public setting. It's an experience. That's one way the Rav viewed Kriyas HaTorah. And by the way, it's an important lesson, I think, for everyone, especially the kids who are back from Israel, boys and girls, but hopefully this is something you'll acquire in Eretz Yisrael. There are some days you're really able to learn the way you'd like to learn. Baruch Hashem, today you can go home and say you spent 2 or 3 hours learning a day after your release from high school. It's a really big mitzvah. But there's some days, quite frankly, you don't get to learn. And for good reasons. You're in the hospital taking care of people. You're running around chesed, parenting, husband. Some days you come to the end of your day. You're taking final exams. And you really haven't learned that much. And you know what? You can justify your schedule. You just were very, very busy. Those are the days before you go to sleep. You take out your phone. You learn Mishnah. Take out your Mishnah and just learn just one. Why? Are you going to become the next Vilna Gaon by reading one Mishnah when you're about to fall asleep? No. But the prospect that you can go a day or 2 days or 3 days without any contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu should at this point be troubling. So, for good reasons, you were very busy that day. You didn't get to learn. About to go to sleep, just read a Mishnah. Read some Sukkim from the Parsha. Just so you should have contact with it. It's not cognitive. You're half asleep. It's experiential. You're connecting with Hashem. I remember we once asked Rav Lichtenstein, not me, of course, someone else. Very fascinating answer. Rebbe, why should we learn Torah? And he looked him in the eye and said, why breathe? I said, he had a two-word response. Why breathe? Why do you even ask that question? How could you imagine life without a Kodesh Baruch Hu? And without not just thinking of Hashem in a distance, but trying to read His will and understand His will. So Kriyas HaTorah is not to push forth the horizons of Talmud Torah in a public setting. It's experiential. The second reason the Rav provided for Kriyas HaTorah, and more relevant to what we just read in the Rambam, why you have to stand. There's one moment in Jewish history that all of this coalesced. And you know what? I can't prove it to you. Judaism is a leap of faith. I can't scientifically prove to you that Har Sinai occurred. I can tell you that if we accept the fact that it occurred, then everything we believe in slides into place. Because we're the only nation in the world to stake the claim of mass revelation. I perfectly and completely accept Christian traditions. I have to, intellectual honesty. If I believe my traditions are correct because they were passed down by thousands of generations of thousands of children, then I have to offer the same accreditation to theirs. I perfectly and completely accept the fact that Jesus walked on water, that Jesus healed people, and that his students thought he was God. I wish I had told me to him like that sometimes. If I accept those traditions, what does that mean? That he was a miracle performer who healed people and had Talmidim that really respected him. I accept the traditions. It doesn't make it a religion. It makes it a very, very charismatic miracle worker who had very, very enduring Talmidim. I perfectly and completely accept the traditions that Muhammad dreamed one night that God came to him in a dream and told him to conquer the earth. Many people have those dreams. Most of them are in the funny farm. Some of them actually succeed. Our tradition is, this is really important, we stood shoulder to shoulder, side by side, millions of people directly speaking to God. Not through an angel, not through a prophet, not through a dream. In a way that was not hallucinatory, but corroborating. I turned to the person on my right, person, did you hear what I heard? Yeah, did you hear what I heard? Did you? We all experienced it jointly in a way that corroborated its authenticity. We spoke to Hashem, the first time and only time in history. I can't prove it to you. I don't have the rocks or the archaeology or the tree fragments or the fossils, or I can't prove to you astronomically what happened that day. I can't. Religion's a leap of faith. But once you accept the Masorah that I'm trying to give you now, that I receive from my Rebbe, receive from his Rebbe, receive from his Rebbe, receive from his Rebbe, receive from his Rebbe, and parents, then everything stated at Har Sinai is absolutely true, beyond empirical proof, because it's direct word of Hashem. If I walked outside right now and the heavens started bleeding, it wouldn't change my belief system. If I walked outside and the mountains started dancing, it wouldn't change anything, because those are miracles, are phenomena, but Hashem spoke to me and told me his will. This is who I am. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Zachar is Yom HaShabbos Lekacha. Sheish is Yavim Tavor. Lo Tirtzach. Lo Tinaf. Spoke to me directly. That's an important moment. In fact, according to the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos, there's an Isser to forget Har Sinai. Hishamar Lecha. Pentishkach Esadvarim Asher Ro'oi Necha. You have to actually tell your kids one day about Har Sinai. What happened on that day? The Rav claimed that it is an important enough event that we want to recreate it often. Kriyas HaTorah, the Rav said, is not just a chance to learn Torah in public, and not just a chance to hear the word of God through experientialism, but it is a recreation of Har Sinai. It is as if Hashem is teaching us the Torah once again, revealing himself through Torah. And the Rav brought 5 proofs for it, and I'll share those proofs with you. How do we know that Kriyas HaTorah is not just studying Torah in public or not just hearing the voice of Hashem experientially, but is actually recreating Har Sinai? So take a look at the sources that I WhatsApp to you. Okay. So you know, if you can pass me my computer, I have to really see that right next. Okay. So this is very tough. Okay. Just give me a second here. Sorry. Okay. Yishalmi, source number 2, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, all Leknishta. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak came into Shul. The second part of 2. In those days, the Baal Kriya, who read from the Torah, was accompanied by a Mitargim to explain the Psukim to those who didn't understand Hebrew. The person who was interpreting, who essentially was the Baal Kriya, was leaning on a pole. He was standing like this. He wasn't standing upright. He was leaning with his weight. Line number two, Amar Leir, Reb Shmuel told him, Asir Lecha, when you're reading from the Torah, when you're the Baal Kriya, you can't lean, you have to stand. Why do you have to stand? This is our Rambam. Why do you have to stand when you read from the Torah? Kishem Shenitna B'Emo V'Yira. Just like the Torah was given and people were fearful and trembling and standing at attention. Look at source number two, the first pasuk. Vahikala Shofar Holech V'Chazek Mi'od. Was very powerful. Line number two of the Yishalmi. Kach Anu Tzrichim Linhog Ba Be'em Or V'Yira. We also, when we read from the Torah, we have to act the same way we experience in Har Sinai. That's the Rav's proof. Why do you stand during Kriyas HaTorah according to the Rambam? Because we're recreating Har Sinai. And in Har Sinai, everyone stood. And Rav Shmuel saw someone who was involved in reading from the Torah, whether it's the Baal Kriya or the sidekick. From the Targumon, he wasn't standing. That's why the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, the next Shulchan Aruch, Sarach Likros Me'umad, Fafilu Lismuch Atzmo Lakosel. You can't even stand or lean. Aser. And here's a really interesting part. That's the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Kuf Mem Aleph when he describes the practice of the Baal Kriya. In Kuf Mem Vav, the next Shulchan Aruch, what about the listeners? Should you stand during Kriya Satara? The Shulchan Aruch paskins Ein Sarach Lamon Me'umad. The listeners don't have to stand. V'yesh Machmirim V'omdim. Some people stand, even when they're the listeners.
It's because of Har Sinai, then surely you should be standing.
At least, it may not be a complete Har Sinai, just the people delivering. We'll see this a little bit later. Good question. Evidently, when Ezra came and refashioned Kriyas HaTorah, which is what people were saying before, because Ezra redid Kriyas HaTorah, as you probably learned, so he inserted this element with these practices. If you ever want to go to a shul and find Talmidim of Rabbi Soloveitchik, there's one easy way to find them. Most of them are standing during Kriyas HaTorah. In fact, some Talmidim of the Rav became a little more yeshivish. It's hard to see them. They got long beards and black hats. But if you see, there are many minhagim. But that's an accepted practice of Talmidim of Soloveitchik and Rav Lichtenstein. So you learn with Talmidim of Rav Lichtenstein. Your minhag is to stand during Kriyas HaTorah, even if you're not the Baal Kriya. Because of your point. Essentially, if it's to recreate Har Sinai, then everyone should stand, not just the Baal Kriya. I remember Rav Lichtenstein at the end of his life was very, very weak. He had many surgeries and walking issues. He would stand like he literally, you'd see this, it looked like a mound because he couldn't stand upright. He was leaning on the table just to stand during Kriyas HaTorah, just to be upright during Kriyas HaTorah, because it's recreating Har Sinai. And that's the sheet of the Rambam. That's why Megillah Lechachila you should stand. But Kriyas HaTorah, Mashen Ken Batara, Afila B'Dieven. What other parts of Kriyas HaTorah reflect the fact that it's a recreation of Har Sinai? That's today's shiur. It's the first part, but we'll just leave it at that. I think you guys till 4 o'clock. I do, but you don't. Okay. So let's continue the Yishalmi. Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, line number 3. Al L'Knishta Chame went to another shul. Koyim Mitargim, the person who was Mitargim, stood up. V'lo Mekim Barnash Tachtoi, line number 4. He stood up alone on the bima. There wasn't anyone else standing on the bima. Amalai, he told him, Aser, when you get up and read from the Torah, there needs to be two people standing there. That's why we have the gabbai who stands at the bima. Wouldn't it be smarter? Any of you guys, who's the gabbai in yeshiva? In the Yavne yeshiva, who gives out the ideas? Bishop, weren't you the gabbai last year?
I was last time, yeah.
Yeah. I came in last year, I didn't get the aliyah, right? Wouldn't it be better if the gabbai were standing in the audience, handing out a little, you go up, you go up. Why is the gabbai standing by the bima, running down, sending someone? Because Kriyas HaTorah has to be staged by two. The fact that we have a Baal Kriya and an Aliyah, that's just because most of the people that have Aliyahs don't know how to read. If you go to Sephardi shuls, as you have, you'll see they get up and have an Aliyah and they read. Or Yemenite shuls. So in theory, there's one person getting up, making a bracha, and reading. That's why the gabbai stands there. There should be two people there at all times. Why? Because at Har Sinai, the delivery mechanism was composed of two. Who are the two elements of the delivery mechanism? Hashem and Moshe. Look at that pasuk in the beginning of two, the end of the pasuk. Moshe yedaber v'alokim yenenu v'kol. If we really want to create Har Sinai, we need two. That's why you should always be makbid. I used to daven. I davened al baruch Hashem in the yeshiva, but when I was had younger children, I couldn't daven in the yeshiva. I had to help get the kids out in the morning. And you know some of these ad hoc minyanim that don't really have gabbais in Eretz Yisrael. And so the chazan gets up, and he's the bal kriya, and he's the gabbai, and he's the everything, and everyone's fashlofen and snoring. So there were times I just saw him standing there by himself. So I would just get up there, and if you ever see one person standing at the bima during Kriya Satara, just stand there. Just get up there and stand there. You can stand there like a statue, but just stand there. That is called, in halacha, sirsur. Samach resh, samach vav resh. Sirsur means middleman. Even in today in Israel, a sirsur is like a real estate middleman. He'll connect you to someone. Sirsur. Make a good app, you call it sirsur. One day make a lot of money. I read about this really cool app. I want to try it. I never have the need to try it, but it's basically Uber for tefillin. Essentially, you sign up as a tefillin recipient or a tefillin donor. And if, let's say you're an Israeli backpacking in the middle of Thailand and you want to put on tefillin, you lock in, you say where you are, and then everyone on the network gets that. And if you have an extra pair of tefillin, you say, oh, I have tefillin. No, come I'm 3 blocks away, come and help me put on tefillin. That's like the coolest thing ever, right? So, I mean, I have my own tefillin, Baruch Hashem, but like, I like being a tefillin donor, you know? There's some airport somewhere in the middle of Dubai, and some guy clicked, oh, here's tefillin. I never had this chutz, but it'd be really cool if like, all of a sudden I got clicked as a tefillin donor. So Uber for tefillin. So I forget what it's called, but I'm intrigued by all these apps. So you can start an app and call it Sirsur, you know, say you want. Kriya Satara on demand. Where's the next Kriya Satara? So it's called Sirsur. So that's what Shmuel told this person. Kishen, the last line of the Yishami, Shenitna Yidei Sirsur, Kachan Ritzrichem Lenog Ba Yidei Sirsur. Just like the Torah was given through a middleman, Moshe, similarly. So far, we have two nafgaminos. This is Brisker Lumnus at his best. Two details that seem to have nothing to do with each other, that are both linked logically. One detail, standing. One detail, middleman. They both come from the same logic, we're recreating Harsina. That's called unifying logic, where the concept of the halacha also influences another halacha. X and Y, at the level of details, are unrelated. One says you have to stand. One says you need a middleman. But they both stem from the same logic that you're recreating Harsina. That's what Lumdus is in its heart. If you look at Chas, what did you learn this year?
More than Chas, Ketubah.
Right, so you look, which parak?
First.
Right, okay, so they're the different topics, but did you learn Yud Beis and Machlokas of Bishur and Megamliel? No. Okay. So different topics, but if you take a topic, you learn Shavi and Afshech Fatiha Disura, or you learned Afgina Rabbanan, right, on Dav Gimel. So you have a million details. When do you do Afgina? When can it apply? When can it... Chas presents itself as these random details. But if you get into the nature of what Afgina means, how do they do it? If you view Afgina as this model, then all these halachas should be expected. If you view Afgina as this model, all these halachas should be expected. That's what Lumnus tries to accomplish, to take Chas and convert it from random details into organized sets of halachos that stem from principles that stand behind the halacha. Get to the unifying, the logic behind them. What does this prove about Afgina? What does this prove about Kriyas HaMegillah? What does this prove about Kriyas Basic Anasim? Now, Afgamina number three. That is Har Sinai, not just reading from the Torah. We hand out an aliyah, and the base package is three aliyahs. And the Gemara says, if you take a look, if you turn the Gemara one page, we'll just keep to the easy part of the Gemara. Hani Shlosha Keneged Mi, Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. Hani Shlosha Keneged Mi. Why do we have three aliyahs as our base package? It's the two dots around two-thirds of the way down. Right near Tosfos Dibra Maschel Ein Pochasin. So the Gemara's first answer is Keneged Tara Neviim B'Ksuvim. Rava Amar, Rava, the great Amarayim. Anyone know which town Rava lived in?
Pumpatis.
A little bit, but what was it? He what?
Surah?
No. Surah was Rav's town. Narda was Shmuel's town. Shmuel had yeshiva in Narda. When Rav moved from Israel to Bavel, so he, instead of becoming the Rosh Hashiva in Harda, because he didn't want to take it from Shmuel, so he moved to Surah. Surah was a yeshiva for 800 years. There were 1,200 talmidim. It was the first mega yeshiva. Rava formed his yeshiva in Mechoza. That's where Rava lived, Mechoza. Rava argues a lot with whom? Bai. Who was Rava's Rebbe? Rabba Bar Nachmani. Okay, so Rava's Rebbe was Rabba Bar Nachmani, and Rabbi Yosef a little bit. So Rava says, Keneged Kohanim, Levim, v'Yisraelim. One aliyah for the Kohanim, one aliyah for the Israelim, one aliyah for the Levim. Why do we have three aliyos corresponding to three different segments of the population? Why is that an important symbolism for us? Do you know what the Rav said? If this is an amazing concept, if every Kriyas HaTorah is meant to recreate Har Sinai, then the only way that Kriyas HaTorah could recreate Har Sinai is by inviting every single Jew to every single Kriyas HaTorah. Because what happened in Har Sinai? Who was there? Every single Jew. What word or what nickname for Har Sinai characterizes or captures the fact that it was the gathering for every Jew? You can take a cheat look at your sources. There's one way to refer to Har Sinai that's said four times in Sefer Devarim that captures the fact that it was an assembly. Yom, well, look at your sources. How do we call Har Sinai in Devarim? Look at source number Aleph. That refers to Har Sinai, the pasuk I read before. Look at a little later on, in the middle of source number Aleph, Devarim Perek Tes. Vayiten Hashem Elai. What's the end of that pasuk? Hakahal. Devarim Perek Yud, pasuk Dalet. Mitoch Ha'esh, B'yom Hakahal. Perek Yud Ches, pasuk Tazayin. Yechol Asher Sha'alta, Mim Hashem Elokecha B'choreif, B'yom Hakahal. Devarim Perek Yud Ches, pasuk Tazvav. Navi Mikir Becha. Oh, that's the same pasuk I said before. Three times in Devarim, Har Sinai is referred to as Yom HaKahal, the day of gathering everyone. So if Kriyas HaTorah is meant to be a recreation of Har Sinai, then you can only read, everyone look at the Bima, you can only read Torah in this room if every single Jew in the world comes to Steen Court. That's not likely to happen too soon. So the Rav said, even though in theory we need it, we can approximate it in symbolism. We'll give one aliyah for the Kohanim, one aliyah for the Levim, one aliyah for the Israelim, and we'll imagine as if they represent all their constituents. All the Kohanim in the world are represented by the Kohen. All the Levim in the world. Anyone a Kohen here? It's a pretty heavy task to represent all the Kohanim in the world. All the Levim in the world. Just symbolically, we're having everyone come. And in fact, the Rav said, Kriyas HaTorah is a twice or three times a week recreation of Har Sinai. But which mitzvah that we perform once in 7 years is a much more direct and authentic rendition of Kriyas of Har Sinai? Hakel. And why do we call it Hakel?
Because everyone's got
Hakel. And because Yom HaKahal. And that's why everyone has to come to Hakel. What's the pasuk in Hakel? HaNashim. Look at the pasuk. Devarim Perek Lamed Aleph, the next pasuk. Vayitzav Moshe Osel Meimor, Miketz Sheva Shanim. So when Ezra decided to convert Kriyas HaTorah into a recreation of Har Sinai, he had the model of Hakel. Hakel is once every 70 years, this will be once every 3 days. Hakel will be everyone coming, this will be just symbolically, everyone represented. And look at the Rambam, the Rav loved quoting the language of the Rambam. Look at the language of the Rambam, how he describes Hakel, and if you didn't have the share, you were just ho-hum this Rambam, read it and go ho-hum. But now you appreciate the Rambam's language. In Chagiga Perek Gimel, he talks about Hakel. People have to come to Hakel, line number two, Lishmoa, Be'ema, V'yira, you should hear it with fear and awe. Kiyom shenitna bo b'Sinai. Wow. You see those words? During Hakel, you should imagine as if you're standing at Har Sinai. Kiyom shenitna bo b'Sinai. Because Hakel is not just a 7-year reading of the Torah, but it's a 7-year recreation of Har Sinai, more closely resembling Har Sinai than Kriyas HaTorah. But it's the same general gist. Because they're both trying to recreate Yom HaKahal. Whether it's Hakel or Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore every single person has to be represented. And here's another really cool nafka mina, and I'm looking at you two in particular. Once we shift Kriyas HaTorah from learning into Hakel, or recreating Har Sinai, then essentially the differences between boys and girls are blurred. If Kriyas HaTorah is a form of Liman HaTorah, then essentially you're invited, but you're not obligated to, and we're obligated to. But if it's not Liman HaTorah, but recreating Har Sinai, here's the kicker. Not only is your obligation just as acute as mine is, but we need you to be there for me to fulfill my obligation. Because Hakel is incomplete unless Anashim, Anashim, V'Ataf. It doesn't mean every single woman has to be there, but we need women. We need a representation. There's a Magen Avram that talks about it. Shulchan Aruch, the Kriyas HaTorah is just as binding on women as it is on men. Which I always find ironic, because sometimes women, especially when they're mothers, come into shul a little bit later. That was more because they have to deal with children. So I'm not looking over the mechitza, but every once in a while. So you'll come in a little bit late and they'll be up to Kriyas HaTorah. And what's your natural instinct? To daven and catch up. But you're not chayiv in davening because this is man grama, but you may be chayiv in Kriyas HaTorah. So the real sequence should be not to daven, listen to Kriyas HaTorah, make up davening later. Although it feels a little odd not to daven. But in theory, if you really want it to be halachic, you should listen to Kriyas HaTorah first, because that you may be more chayiv in tefillah, which you're definitely not as chayiv in, because it's man grama. I mean, you're allowed to daven, but you can't have a chayiv, or certainly you can't have a chayiv to daven right now, if shachar is a mincha, because you daven whenever you want. That's a little bit ironic. So safar, we have three halachas. Halacha number one, standing. Afila b'di'evit. And not just the Baal Kriya, but also the Tzibur. Halacha number two, two people, not one people. Halacha number three, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. Fourth halacha, with this will end, is how exacting do you have to be when correcting mistakes? Now, that's not the same question as how loud you have to scream at the person making mistakes. The answer to that question is an unconditional no. One day you'll be involved in shuls and in committees. The best way for it to be is that one person should be responsible, typically the gabbai or a very well-rehearsed Baal Kriya, and there should be a rule in shul, as far as I'm concerned, that any person who dares correct, I don't care how loud or soft they are, that person doesn't get to come to Kiddush Club or will exile him to the Kiddush Club. It's incredible that in the year 2018 you still have people screaming at bar mitzvah kids. It's crazy. Especially since according to the common practice, it's really hard to make a mistake. I mean, you can make mistakes, but most of them don't really change the meaning. That's the threshold that most people apply. If it changes the meaning, seriously. By the way, a little known fact, Devarim is a tough one because Moshe is speaking in the future tense. And he says words that if you don't put the dictuk properly, even though you say the vowels properly, could change the meaning. So if you say V'achalta means you ate. If you say V'achalta means you will eat. The real way to bench is Kakasa V'achalta, V'achalta, sorry, V'achalta, V'savata, or V'erachta. Check the trap. You will eat, you then were satisfied, and you should make a bracha. Moshe is telling them instructions for the future. So V'achalta, V'savata, if you want to know someone that really knows their diktuk, listen to their benching. And it's tricky because you have to switch from the middle. V'achalta means the future, v'savata means the past because you've already been satiated, even though it's a future scenario. It's talking about how you feel about the past. V'achalta, v'savata, v'erachta, Hashem elokecha. But there are maybe hundreds of those, about 100 words in Devarim that you have to read future by putting the emphasis on the end. So even though you're saying the word the right way, v'yarashta, if you say the word v'yarashta, that doesn't mean v'yarashta saretz. Say the word v'yarashta, not v'yarashta. But anyway, that's for the gabbai to know, not for everyone to scream at that person. However, in Brisk, at Shabbos, see on Shabbos, Shekoyach. In Brisk, Reb Chaim was very, very makbid. On every toast, not just changes that alter the meaning, but even changes in trup, in the cantillation. And he made the Baal Kriya repeat it. And the Rav said it was based on this concept, that we weren't just learning Torah. If you're learning Torah, then as long as you're not changing the meaning, who cares? Now, who cares, but it's not that. It doesn't warrant repeating. But if we're not learning Torah, we're reading it exactly as it was read at Har Sinai, then the margins of error shrink. Because you want to recreate the text as faithfully as possible. And you want to read it as if it were given at Har Sinai. And that's how the Rambam, based on this Rambam, Reb Chaim is very punctilious, and we'll end with this. Look at the Rambam in Tefillah. Ein Akari, a little bit higher up. Ein Akari Batara, Rashai Likras Batara. You can't start until you hear the Amen. Karavita, the Rambam writes, Afilu bediktuk os achas machzirin osa. Ad shikrena bediktuk, v'leik u'shtayim batar. And yeshivos is always true that like the standards are really, really high because they expect things that we don't really learn about. Does anyone know the difference between a chiruk gadol and a chiruk katan and a kametz gadol and a kametz katan and a mapike? All these things, Yomer Moshe, all these ayins and stuff. So depending on not just which yeshiva you go to, but like what cycle it is in the yeshiva. There's always like one guy, if you happen to have bad luck and you come with like the person who's an expert in all the career, and then you can't pass his test and you can't read. But in Brisk, it was very, very exacting. Again, I don't think they screamed at people, but the expectations were very high about what is acceptable and what is a non-acceptable excuse. This is one of the shiurim the Rebbe gave about Kriyas HaTorah. Four rayos of Kriyas HaTorah is not just Limud HaTorah and not just Shmias Devar Hashem, but is recreating Har Sinai. One, standing. Two people. Three, Konim Levim Yisraelim. Four, try to correct even minor mistakes. And of course, the implications of what the Rav said are clear. Har Sinai is an important foreign event in Jewish history. There's a Har Sinai Tisha B'Av connection. I'll talk about that at some point over Tisha B'Av. Why is it called Har Sinai? The Gemara in Shabbos says, because at that point, anti-Semitism was born. Yard HaSinah Le'olam. Ultimately, anti-Semitism isn't based on anything but jealousy that we're Hashem's people and anger, that we challenge people to higher moral ground, that we challenge them to higher standards. And the Medrash says if they can go up to Shemayim in battle with Hashem, they would, but they can't, so they attack us. So we represent Hashem in this world. We represent light and forces of light and Hashem's will and morality. And if we have to be hated for it, that's our, no, I won't say it's our honor, but that's our mission. Ger yezaracha, beretz lo lahem. You'll always be a stranger. Give you a little bit of mussar. Not real hard mussar, but just encouraging. Both women and men, but obviously I'll say it in a male gender context, but the same thing. I travel a lot, and one thing I've given up on a long time ago. It's called baseball hats. I'm a Jew, and I'm finished running. We spent 1,900 years running. I'm not running anywhere. I wear my kippah proudly wherever I am, and if people want to make snide comments or mock me, quite frankly, I've heard better from worse. I grew up in Brooklyn. Nothing they could say to me is going to be worse than what I heard in the New York subways in the 70s. Trust me. Not even close. Snide comments, yid, yahood. That's my own personal feeling. I walk around sometimes and see people in the baseball hats if they're trying to conceal their Judaism. Yeah. Round faces like accountants. Wiry glasses. Girls in denim jeans. Who wears denim jeans? From girls from seminary. But they're not from. I'm proud to be a Jew. I'm not proud to be hated, but I understand it. I understand because we have challenged the world for thousands of years to higher moral ground. To live life the right way. And we still do it. We challenge the world to call a terrorist, not a freedom fighter. Slowly but surely, the rest of the world is learning the hard way. That they're not freedom fighters. A lot of blood and a lot of cost of life. I wish they would see it earlier, but they're not freedom fighters. And there's no moral perspective that can justify it. And I'm not calling everyone a terrorist, but it's just there's something called terror, and that's what we ratted out. That's what we do. We did it to the Soviet Union. We did it to the Roman Empire. We did it to Nebuchadnezzar. That's what we do. We're empire busters. My two good words for you to remember on Tisha B'Av. Empire busters and sky rippers. Empire busters means we bust empires. Sky rippers, we cut the sky open and see beyond our place. What we were talking about before, saying beyond Manchester. I think actually, you know who coined that phrase? Sinead O'Connor. I think she's an Irish. No, she's Irish, not British. Sky rippers. Rip the sky open and see through. Step outside this little point in time in Google Maps that you live in. See through the sky. Have a great, great Erev Shabbos, everyone. See you all on Shabbos. Rich Hashem, it was a great meeting, especially the high school kids. A really big yashkoach to you guys. I'm really super impressed. It doesn't mean you'll get into any yeshiva in Israel. That we'll have. We'll talk about the money. I'll have my accountant, my CFO, contact you for that. So I'm impressed. Let's just put it that way. Yeah, money is money. It's a different thing. I can enjoy capitalism just like, what's his name over there? Just like
thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Welcome, guys. Have a good Shabbos. I'll see you all on Shabbos. Wherever.
Thank you very much.
Can anyone help me out for 45 minutes? Thank you. Bracha Chon, everyone. If you didn't make a Bracha Chon, a Bracha Chon. I don't know how to make it. I have a lot of time. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one.